Hello, this is Masao, indie producer in Montreal, and your host for What Else Do You Do?
Today, our guest is Anna Brandberg.
Anna, please introduce yourself and tell me what you do professionally.
Hi, as you just mentioned, my name is Anna. I work as a UX designer. I'm a senior UX designer at King in Stockholm, and I'm currently working on Candy Crush.
Candy Crush, wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be probably the largest IP.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, actually, sometimes to like walk into shops or sit on the train or whatever it is and just see people playing your game on the regular. It's not like on the previous games, it would happen once in a blue moon and you get super excited when it happens. But now it happens all the time. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty surreal.
At our studio, the game that we're working on is like a conventional indie PC title. And compared to like mobile, you know, like if mobile was like the movies, like we're like an oil painting in terms of like our market size.
Yeah. Yep.
So this podcast is called What Else Do You Do? So other than being a senior UX designer at King, what else do you do?
A lot. 24 hours is never enough in my day. but for today, I was thinking about talking about skating. And it's a new hobby that I picked up only about 3 years ago, I think. And it's kind of integrated itself pretty nicely with the games community. So I thought that might be interesting.
So how did you get into skating?
My friend who coincidentally actually also works in games, he moved overseas to Canada and he left a longboard at my place, and he basically said, take care of this while I'm away. And he was trying to encourage me to skate, and my friend was also trying to encourage me to skate, and I always kind of said that I couldn't or wouldn't or whatever it is. And like, and this is because, I mean, I've always wanted to skate but just never did for some reason, you know, the whole like fear thing of I'm going to be bad at it, or, you know, I'm too old and people are going to look at me funny, or, you know, you don't want to be that 30-year-old that goes to the skate park and gets like laughed at by all the 12-year-olds. So I just never did. But then when he left, he was like, I know you've always wanted to skate, so I'm just going to leave my board with you. And you don't need to touch it. You don't need to do anything. I'm just storing it in your apartment until I come back, if I come back. And I was like, yep, cool. That's cool. And, you know, I just started rolling on it in my living room, and then started rolling in the little alley behind my house, and then started rolling a bit more, and then started going to work on it. And then it kind of became a thing that I did every day, and I thought it was amazing and a lot of fun. Yeah, and people started, you know, telling me that it was cool and that it was something that they wished that they could always do. It never really occurred to me until then that it was something that I had been saying my entire life as well, that like I wish I could skate but I never did, until someone else gave me that little nudge, and then yeah, it just kind of became a thing. And then suddenly I wouldn't leave the house without my board ever. It was like people walk out with their handbags or their wallets. With me, it was like phone, skateboard.
That's really awesome. You also mentioned that you teach other people how to skate.
Yeah, so there is a Facebook group for women in games and tech in Australia, and a friend of mine had posted in there asking if there were any other women who skateboarded, and I got tagged into that conversation. She was called Tess, so both me and another woman called Kamina had responded, and Tess was like, "Cool, I want to meet more women who skateboard." Because I've just bought a board. I'm a complete beginner. I have no idea what I'm doing. Let's be friends. And naturally, I'm like, absolutely, yes. Am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
You can do whatever you like.
I was going to say shit, yes, but I was like, maybe I shouldn't. I should tailor my words.
That's okay. It's not the radio.
Just checking. But yeah, so I was like, well, absolutely, shit, yes. I absolutely want to skate. This is cool. I need friends. Because I'm still far too intimidated to go to a skate park by myself. And I don't do anything in public, basically. It's just transport. So we met up, we went for a coffee, and the three of us ended up becoming extremely good friends. And today they're two of my best friends in the whole world. And we decided that, well, you know, we started skating regularly, just kind of going for brunch and skating around Melbourne. And then we got tired of, tired sounds so dramatic, but like, we just got tired of people being like, oh, that, you know, you're so cool. I wish I could skate. And we would always like, but you can, like, you should join us. You should come for brunch, come skate with us. And people are like, no, 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 I can't. Like, I would make such a fool of myself. We're like, no, 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 but you can. So we created a little skate collective, I guess you would call it, a little skate crew, a super tough skate crew. We kind of hang out in a park, and we made it a picnic. So it was like a skate picnic. So super not like, what's the word for dramatized? What's the opposite? Undramatized? De-dramatized? De-dramatized. That's the word I'm going with.
Low-key?
Low-key, yeah. So it's like nothing intimidating, nothing scary. We're just having a picnic. And then like I had at this point collected, you know, 5-6 skateboards. And so I'd bring a couple of extra boards with me, and Tess and Cam would bring boards as well. And we grew into a sizable group of women and non-binary people, because we opened this up for basically all kinds of genders, minority genders, underrepresented genders. And we just started hanging out. And so there was never a pressure for people to actually go rolling on a board, because, you know, we understand it's a bit intimidating when you're double the age of everyone else in the skate rink or skate bowl or whatever it is. Yeah, we just started putting people on boards, and eventually like everyone was able to skate really, like maybe not amazingly, you know, we're not amazing either, but everyone was at least able to have the confidence to get on a board and roll independently and kind of travel from A to B. And that was just super fun.
That sounds super nice. I mean, yeah. It's so contrary to the kind of the standard skate community,
yeah,
which has like some parallels to the gaming community.
Yeah, there's a huge overlap. I'm like, yeah. And that's what we did, like, because there were so many women and non-binary people who would constantly say, like, you know, I always wanted to skate, and I'm like, so do it, so join us, you know. So we created a little Facebook group, and that little group became a slightly bigger group, and then, you know, I think at our biggest meetup we had maybe like 15 people, which for us, you know, it started off just being three of us, and then we'd have like 15 people show up. It was wild to us. Just encouraging people in our gaming communities to actually just go out and do the things that they want to do. Like, don't be afraid of doing that cool thing that you've always been too scared to do. Everyone needs a nudge, and maybe I can be that nudge, or, you know, the three of us could have been that nudge for those people.
That's really nice, because, you know, so much of the, I feel like the kind of the skating culture is very exclusionary and,
yeah,
anti-women and a lot of things.
The thing's like, surprisingly, so after I then eventually got the confidence to actually go to skate parks and hang out in skate parks, it was always a shock to me that I realized afterwards that the guys were more intimidated of me than I was of them. Because by the end, you know, after I'd been there for an hour or two, as I was packing up or, you know, heading home or whatever, some like 17-year-old kid would come up to me and be like, hey, I think it's really cool that you're here. And I'd be like, oh, shit, thanks, dude. Like, it's really scary to be here. And they're like, no, 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 you're cool. You're super cool. Like, we should have more chicks here all the time. And I'm like, well, why don't you come and introduce yourself and say this to me at the beginning? Why do you tell me this as I'm leaving? Like, you could have made this all so much easier for everyone. But yeah, I just realized they're just as intimidated of like us as we are of them. It made it a lot less scary to come back in future.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are there still young kids that skate? Because there's a skate park. So my studio is like, I don't know, about 150 meters away from a skate park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. And I've noticed that like only old dudes skate.
Like, really?
Yeah. All like
the kids are on scooters.
Yeah, all the kids are on scooters now. Like all of them. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
If you're below like. Yeah, like nobody under 20 was on a skateboard at this point.
I think it's a bit mixed. I mean, I don't know, obviously, what it's like in different countries or different neighborhoods. I know in Melbourne, skating is very much still like cool and trendy. Here in Stockholm, I haven't been out as much just because, you know, it's been a pandemic since I moved to Stockholm. So I haven't really gotten much in touch with the scene here. I know there's a big longboard scene here that I have actually hung out with a bit. I've got a little like women's longboard group that I go with. But yeah, it's kids wise, I don't know Stockholm, but definitely in Melbourne, there's a lot of skateboard kids. I know that there's initiatives to teach young kids to skate. I know there's, especially young girls, that's becoming more and more of a thing that people do. But I know that, yeah, every single five-year-old from like my siblings or my friends as kids, they all have scooters as well.
Yeah. I don't know what happened because like 10 years ago, like all the skaters were like, God, look at those losers.
I know.
And now they're looking at the skaters and be like, oh, look at the fucking old fucks.
Yeah. But like, at least there's I don't know, like Melbourne is definitely still a skate. I mean, maybe it was just because I was in Fitzroy and it was super like hipster and trendy and whatnot.
It could just be Montreal. Like I haven't gone to a skate park outside of Montreal in a long time.
So. I know that in southern Sweden, like in Malmo, there's a massive skate scene. So I just haven't explored the Stockholm one yet. But yeah, I don't know. I can't speak for the kids in Sweden because I haven't seen them in the flesh.
You know that they're out there, but
they're out there. They're out there. I'm sure they're out there. I actually taught my how old is she now? Four-year-old niece to skate over Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
My daughter is gonna turn four soon, and I'm looking forward to teaching her how to skateboard.
Yeah.
She's gonna ice skate first.
Ice skate.
Winter. Yeah, winter here is pretty long, so.
Yeah, fair.
You can't skateboard in the winter.
No. No, I mean, I'm indoors. That's how most Swedes kind of do it. They've got massive indoor parks.
Actually, there is a big indoor park.
And like, you've got parking houses, don't you?
I guess downtown. Montreal's a strange city, actually. It's not very dense.
Huh. All right.
So like, there's not a lot of parking structures.
Okay.
For a city this size, it feels a bit odd.
Yeah, Europe's very compact.
Yeah, Canada has quite a bit of land. So.
Yeah, that is very true. You have a lot more land than Sweden does.
Not a lot of people either. So my next question is, what do you get out of skating that you don't get out of game development?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is exercise. you know, every day is leg day. But also, I get to meet people that I wouldn't. Just at work, like I meet so many more women and non-binary people than I have in my day-to-day basis, especially because I'm talking about things that I did in Melbourne primarily, because as I mentioned, I haven't really been skating much in Stockholm yet, but especially in Melbourne, like I worked at a very male-dominated studio, and so it was a really nice way of meeting other women that I have common interests with, and women that I kind of can share my industry and like day-to-day work struggles with and kind of chat to and get advice and, you know, just kind of vent about work stuff in a community that actually understands my work environment, because a lot of the women that I hung out with outside of games, they have no clue what it's like to work in the games industry. So finding that little space of alternative women as well, and like women who like doing, and non-binary people, of course, but like people who enjoy doing stuff that's not the conventional thing. And I'm speaking as someone who's like completely covered in tattoos and enjoys extreme sports and, you know, going to death metal concerts and whatnot, like anything that's a little bit weird or different, like I'm all in for it always. So finding people who also enjoy just doing a little bit like offbeat things is always fun. And also like getting to teach people how to do stuff is really fun. I enjoy teaching, but like there's always that thing about getting to learn something that you've always wanted to do, that you've always been too scared to do, and then finally getting to do that. Like, you know how we build up these things in our head, like learning something that you've just discovered on the internet yesterday is not that big of a hurdle. But when you've built up a lifetime of thinking about a thing that you totally should, but you're too scared of, so by the time you get to that thing, it's like a lot harder, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because
you've got your own mental monsters to fight as well. So
you've put up all these hurdles.
Yeah, exactly. Mentally. And so holding people's hands, like literally and metaphorically, but like getting to hold people's hands through like getting to do something fun that they've wanted to do since they were kids is really fun too. It's really fun to have like a little skate crew to skate with, you know, on weekends or whatever, because as I mentioned in the beginning, I was always skating alone. And so now I then suddenly had friends that I could skate with. So that was super cool.
Yeah, skate crews are fun.
Definitely.
I confirm this.
Definitely. And you feel super tough just like rolling down with a big group. Way more tough.
You make a lot of noise too, you know, and scare dogs. It's fun.
Yep. Scare cars. Cars as in like C-A-R-S, if my accent is.
I think you have a very neutral accent as far as I'm concerned.
All right, cool.
So let's see the flip side. What does skating bring to game development for you?
It's teaching, right? And as a UX designer, it's kind of what I do. Part of my job is taking large amounts of complicated information and breaking it down into bite-sized little bits of information and teaching that to a player or whoever. So any form of teaching is always fun, and it's a good way to practice your methodology. Pedagogy, one of my favorite words. Any form of teaching is always going to be intrinsically linked with my job as a UX designer. I don't know if that was...
No, that's... No, it's good. It's good. So we've been going at it for a while. So I think we're going to wrap up with our final question. If you've always wanted to skate but don't know how to start, where do you start?
Well, I was going to say go to your local skate park, but I know how terrifying that is. So maybe don't do that straight off the. I mean, if you have the nerve to do that, absolutely go for it. Because I swear to God, those like 12-year-old shits are going to be more scared of you than you are of them. But if that's not something you're comfortable with, look out like Facebook groups for any kind of group that you're a part of. Like if you want to find women's groups, if you want to find trans groups, if you want to find like Black people skating, whatever it is that you have, like your tribe that you feel most comfortable with, I promise there's always going to be an online community for that. So hopefully you'd be able to get put in touch at least with someone or some people. Even if there isn't an entire group already doing an activity, there'll always be at least one or two people that have that mutual interest. So like jump onto Facebook groups. If you don't have Facebook, which I totally understand because I'm on the verge of deleting mine too. You know, Twitter, hit me up on Twitter. I'm sure I can connect you with someone. And what other social things do we have nowadays that's not awful? Instagram. I mean, Instagram is also awful, I guess, for privacy things. If you have an Instagram, troll the hashtags. You're bound to find stuff there as well. In terms of getting your first board, I'd super, super, super recommend. This is something that Tess actually pushed for, which makes super sense to me and that I also tell people now. Instead of just getting some kind of scrappy, shitty board that you've inherited from someone that's really hard to skate, that's going to make it difficult for you, that's just going to become like a barrier to you wanting to keep at it, because you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself and it's going to be shitty and it's going to suck in the beginning. So instead of making it even harder and even more negative, get yourself a proper board to start with. If you know that you want to skate, go to a shop and get them to help you put a board together that's actually customized for like your height, weight, size, whatever it is, and your needs. Because, you know, if you want a longboard, if you want to have a little trick board or whatever it is that you actually want to do, they'll help you customize wheel size and all that kind of stuff. Because then you're going to have this like super cool board that's super pretty that you're going to want to roll on every day. And that's going to make the whole process so much easier because you're actually going to have the enthusiasm to roll every single day. And then I guess I'd also say instead of trying to do these, you know, epic skate sessions where you decide that I'm going to go to a skate park and I'm going to smash out 2 hours and I'm going to know, like, I'm going to walk out of here knowing how to skate. Sure, you can do that, but that's probably going to be super hard. Instead, the way that I started was just by doing like 5-10 minutes every day to and from your train, bus, tram, whatever it is that you have for transport. I mean, it's a bit different now in the pandemic, but I guess to the grocery store or whatever it is, just kind of smash out a regular 5-10 minutes every single day, because that'll help you just get comfortable on a board and just feel stable. And then once you have that kind of that basic A to B rolling comfort, then you can start doing all the other fun stuff. But yeah, get a board you like, do a little bit every day, find like-mindeds, because they're going to help you with little tips and tricks and fun stuff that you're not going to know, and vice versa. And also company is always fun.
I think that's all very good advice.
Yeah, you skate. You can totally give more advice.
I learned how to skateboard in a office parking lot on the weekends, because basically the pavement was super nice there and there was nobody there on the weekends because it was office. So I guess now, like during the pandemic, there might be parking lots that are completely empty near your home.
Absolutely.
That would be a really good place to learn.
Absolutely.
And nice pavement goes a long way.
Oh my God. Smooth
cracks
concrete
are not your friend.
No.
I mean, you'll learn to deal with it over time, but like you don't want to start.
Absolutely.
You want to make it difficult for yourself initially, because even like being on a board and not falling is going to be a challenge.
Yep.
The first time.
And something that I figured out very, very quickly after almost losing my front teeth when I was just beginning is that going slowly is not always the safest.
Oh, no. It's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
It's quite dangerous, so because you have no momentum.
Exactly. So speaking of cracks and little pebbles and everything, like, you actually do want to have a little bit of speed. So, yeah, also something to keep in mind when you're just starting off. It's a bit counterintuitive, but being a speed demon is actually good. And,
actually, every single bad fall that I've had on a skateboard has been on flat land going slowly.
Yep, same. Well, no, most of them, not all of them. I have had
for me every single one of the like the really bad ones where I like had like, you know, chunks of skin missing was always on flat land.
I have most of mine are like that. I do have one really big one. Like my worst one was just plain stupidity, because I was riding downhill. And I saw this massive crack in the pavement and I was like, nah, man, like I'm going fast enough. Like I'm totally going to be able to clear that. Not a problem. Obviously didn't. Completely smashed up my kneecap. And the thing is, I was on my way to get tattooed. I was going to get my shin tattooed. So I called in my tattoo artist and I was like, hey, dude, like I just fell on my skateboard and I've just like completely destroyed my kneecap. And he's like, oh, sorry, like, do you want me to cancel the appointment? I was like, no, I'm just letting you know I'm going to be a bit late.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, the bits of skin that you were supposed to tattoo is no longer there.
No, but it ended up being perfect because, like, that's the best place you can go after you've, you know, destroyed your flesh, because they've got, like, it's a completely sterile environment and he's got all the antiseptic and, you know,
sure,
he cleaned me up real nice. And then I, you know, already had all the like dopamine, adrenaline and endorphins and shit running through my body. I was already in pain. So it made the tattoo less painful because the tattoo was going to be right under where it was. So I've got some gnarly photos.
It's supposed to be painful too, right?
Yeah. And it was really not bad because I was already like in shock. So it made the tattoo really easy.
So pro tip, if you get hurt on a skateboard, go get tattooed on top of it.
Exactly. Just go, like, don't even go to the ER. Just go to your nearest tattoo shop. What I was going to mention before as well about, you mentioned work being a good, like work parking lots being a good place to skate. And I was going to say, because I forgot to mention that when I was saying places to find people to skate with, your office Slack, like ask people at your studio. I am willing to bet that there is someone at your studio that at least skates or wants to skate. So yeah, that's another place to find people.
Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for joining me. And yeah.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good time.
Thanks. And I hope you get to teach your daughter how to skate.
Yeah, one day when there's no more snow on the ground, which will probably be another 3 more months.
Oh my God. I was just going to say something about that, which reminded me that this is general advice for everyone. Get her some wrist guards. And everyone. Please, 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 please. If you're starting to skate, get yourself some wrist guards and some knee, what do they call them? Knee guards?
Knee pads, yeah.
Knee pads.
We just got her some knee pads, elbow pads, and wrist guards for, she's going to learn how to ice skate first. So
yeah.
That's the purpose, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And like, don't be afraid of falling.
And helmet.
And a helmet, definitely. Oh my God. One of like, so
head injuries are not cool.
Remember when I said that my falls have mostly just been stupidity? So I used to like walk my ex's dog on my skateboard. She used to be really scared of skateboards and I wanted to be able to roll with her. So I trained her to like skateboards instead by like putting treats on the boards and that. And so eventually she became okay with the boards and I was able to skate with her and it was perfect because she could run to her heart's content and I didn't need to put in any effort. And then that was like perfect until the one day that she got distracted and pulled sideways and pulled me completely off my board.
Skateboards and dogs are, I don't know. I see that sometimes and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could do that.
It's really good if they're very well behaved. It's less good if they get distracted and they bolt sideways.
Yeah. Or go underneath your board.
Yeah. No, I was just mostly happy that I had my hair in a ballet bun at the back of my head because I landed with my head like smack onto the concrete. And I lay there for a solid like 30 seconds, not moving, not realizing like if I was conscious or not. So yeah, definitely get a helmet.
Well, thank you very much and have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music for the beginning of the show, and thank you to Trez Lance for creating our logo. Bye.